Welcome to First Baptist Church of Tarrytown, sharing God's love and hope around the world. Our prayer is that your life is transformed as you hear the Word of God preached today.
Oh, wow. My friend Jacob told me that many of you are coming to greet me, to see me off as I go to India to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ across the world. But I didn't realize there would be so many of you. I don't recognize most of you. I'm so sorry. Where are my manners? My name is Thomas. And I'm glad that you all gathered here in Jerusalem to see me off as I go to India to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. But for one last time, as you've come together, I wanted to share with you about my experience with Jesus, who walked these very grounds some 30 years ago. I began to follow Jesus because I hoped he was the Messiah. I hoped that he was the Messiah, the one who would come gather all of Israel to himself and chase the Romans out of the promised land, elevating us to our place in the world again. But that's why I began to follow Jesus. I continued to follow Jesus because of what I saw. If you see it, it's real, right? Seeing is believing. I saw Jesus turn ordinary dirty water into wine, and not just any wine, the choice wine, the best wine. I tasted it. It was real. I saw Jesus take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, I mean puny little fish, and he miraculously fed 5,000 people. I saw Jesus heal people who couldn't speak, people who couldn't hear. I saw him restore sight to a blind man. I saw Jesus once take a man who was on his deathbed. He had just broken his back. He was paralyzed, dying. And with a word, Jesus said, take up your mat, go home. And he did. I saw Jesus cast out demons and devils and afflictions. One night, Jesus had sent me and the disciples out onto the Sea of Galilee to go to the other side. He had some other business to attend to. And that night, as the waves crashed into each other and roared over the ship, out on the water, I saw Jesus walking. I saw and I believed. He was the Messiah. He was the forever King. He was the one who was going to come and take away the sins of the world. He was going to make all things new. So I followed him. In fact, when our ministry was going to take us into Jerusalem, Jesus wanted to go, but the rest of the disciples were too scared to go. They didn't want to go. James and Peter, they said, no, we can't go. And they were scared. They were scared because there was a small group of leaders that wanted to kill Jesus. It's just a small group, but they had a lot of power. They were jealous of Jesus and the popularity he had. And they were jealous of Jesus and scared of him because they were afraid that they were going to lose their own power. But you know what I said? When everyone else was afraid, I said, let us also go that we might die with him. I said this, Thomas, not Peter, not James, not John, me. I said it. It's really easy to make bold proclamations, isn't it? It's very hard to follow through with them. We went to Jerusalem during the Passover. And one evening we were heading up onto the Mount of Olives. We made it to the Garden of Gethsemane. And while we were there, one of the 12 disciples, one of my brothers, Judas, he came to the garden with soldiers from the high priest, soldiers from the temple. They had come to arrest Jesus. Now, I was scared. I was really scared at first, but then I thought, no, this is Jesus. They can't arrest him. I've seen his power. Bring a battalion of soldiers. Bring two battalions of soldiers. Bring all the armies of the world. Jesus is too strong. Jesus is too powerful. Nothing can take him. But Jesus just let them arrest him. And as they arrested him and took him away, I ran. We ran. All of us eventually ran. Well, except John. We ran into a small house on the outskirts of Jerusalem. We went into this tiny little dark room, and we were so scared, we didn't bother cleaning the sand off of our clothes or our legs, and we hadn't even washed our feet before we went in. We just cowered in that small room, terrified that they would come and arrest us too. John found us. And John told us that Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate. He was the governor here in Jerusalem at the time. That Pilate condemned him to die by crucifixion for being the king of the Jews. John told us how they took Jesus to Golgotha, the place of the skulls, and they laid him on a wooden cross. And they pierced each of his hands with a nail. And they had put one through both of his feet. And one of the Roman soldiers had pierced his side open with a spear. After 3 hours on the cross, Jesus died. I had given up everything to follow Jesus. I had left my business. I left my home. I left my parents. My family told me not to go, not to believe that this was the Messiah, that there had been many messiahs who had come into Israel before, and they all proved to be false, and I would be shamed if I went. I gambled everything on Jesus. Now he was dead. And here I was, huddling in my own filth with 10 other men, terrified that I would be next. This was the cost of being wrong. A few days went by. We didn't leave. We were scared. But we were running out of food and water, and someone needed to go get supplies for the rest of the group. No one wanted to go. Can you imagine that? Because no one wanted to risk their life for a dead man. So we gambled. Just like we had gambled when we followed Jesus, we drew straws, and wouldn't you know it, I got the short one. I left early in the morning before the sun had risen because I didn't want to be seen, and I stuck to the shadows in the outskirts of town, and I talked only to people I thought wouldn't rat me out to the Roman soldiers or to the authorities. I spent all day gathering supplies, making sure no one was following me, checking the shadows, making sure no one recognized me. The sun was just about setting when I finally made it back to the house we were staying at. And I knocked, not on the door, but I knocked on the frame of the door, the mortar on the side of it, so they knew it was me. And the second I knocked, all of a sudden I heard the bolt being drawn back, the door flung open, and two hands grabbed me, pulled me into the house. I dropped half the things that I was carrying. And Peter had me by both shoulders, and of course it was Peter, and he had a smile on his face, and he was shaking me, and he said, Thomas, he's alive. Jesus is alive. We've seen him, Thomas. I looked around, and all 10 of them were smiling, big smiles on their face, and I got excited. I closed the door and locked it behind me, and I started looking throughout the house, and I said, Jesus, where are you, Jesus? James came and he put a hand on my shoulder and he said, Thomas, we all saw him. We were here with the door locked, just like it is now. And then all of a sudden, Jesus just appeared in front of us. He spoke to us. And when he was done speaking, we all just kind of looked away at the same moment. And then he was gone. I took James' hand on my shoulder and I pushed it off. I don't believe it, James. James said, you can believe us. We really saw him, Thomas. He was here. And I said to him, I don't believe it. Not for one second, not for one instant. Peter jumped into it and he threw his finger right into my face. He said, how dare you, Thomas? How dare you? We've worked together for 3 years. We're brothers. We've fought together. We've bled together. We've seen everything that Jesus has done together, and you don't believe us? You accuse us of being liars? Why would we lie? Thomas, how dare you? And I said to him, how dare me? How dare you? If Jesus really is risen from the dead, if he really did come back to life, then why are all of you in this room cowering behind a locked door? Why aren't you out there sharing the good news, huh? John came, broke us up. And John said, Thomas, it's true. We all saw him. He was standing right there. Mary Magdalene saw him too. And I said, unless I see the holes in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and touch my hand to his side where the spear pierced him, I won't believe it, John. I've given up too much, John. I've already been shamed too much and broken my entire life. I can't risk it anymore. A day went by, nothing. And then another day, and another day, and another day, nothing. A full week went by. We didn't hear a word. And we all decided that it was probably safe to go back to Galilee. The Passover was long over. And so we began to gather up our things, and I thought, once I get back to Galilee, I'll try to piece back together my broken life and see if I can start over again where I left it 3 years ago. I was in the corner of the room, putting some of my things away, just about done, when I heard a voice from behind me say, "Peace be with you." And I didn't know who it was. Andrew? Maybe Peter? And I looked. And it was him. It was Jesus. And I ran to embrace him. But as I ran, he put his hand up to stop me. No, not to stop me. He held out his left hand, and I could see the hole where the nails had pierced him going right through. And Jesus said to me, "Put your finger here." And I thought, thought, no, Lord, no. No, I know that you're real. I'm sorry, no. But he just stood there with his hand out. So finally I took it. I touched him. He was real. And when my finger touched that horrible hole, I took it back. Okay, Lord. Okay. But then he put out his other hand. See my hands. Oh, Lord. But he wouldn't stop. He wouldn't move. He just held his hands out there with those horrible piercings. So I took it. Okay, fine. And as soon as my finger touched the edge of the hole, I took it away. Okay. But then Jesus lifted up his outer garment and he showed me where the spear had pierced through his side, that horrible hole. A chunk of his body was missing. Jesus said, place your hand here. I closed my eyes and hung my head in shame. And I touched him. It was horrible. And when I opened my eyes, I could see the nail holes through both of his feet. And then Jesus said, stop doubting and believe. I fell to my hands and knees. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. And my God. Jesus placed his hand on my shoulder and he lifted me up and he looked me in the eye and he said, you have believed because you have seen, but blessed are those who believed and have not seen. I turned my face away in shame. And when I looked back, he was gone. Oh, my friends, I was so arrogant. I was so arrogant. I didn't believe my brothers, the ones I spent 3 years with. I thought something was real only if I could touch it. I was wrong. I should have believed what they'd said. I should have believed their testimony. And what about you? None of you have seen Jesus walking these streets. None of you have seen Jesus walking these grounds. But don't be like me. You should believe. You should believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Because God wrote it in his word. You should believe in the resurrection of Jesus because God wrote it in his word. The entirety of scripture, all of the prophets point to Jesus as the Messiah, point to his resurrection. These things are written so that you might know about Jesus. You should believe in the resurrection of Jesus because God wrote it in his word. Choose to believe. Choose to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Choose to believe that through his death, burial, and resurrection, you are adopted into God's family. Choose to believe that Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who is, who was, and will come again. Choose to believe that one day King Jesus will come and bring in the everlasting kingdom. Choose to believe that he has established his church and a brotherhood and sisterhood of all of humanity. He has made a family. Choose to believe in the resurrection of Jesus who gave us his spirit. Choose to believe in the resurrection of Jesus who has come to change our lives. Choose to believe in his resurrection so that on this day, above all other days, you can say, he is risen. He is risen indeed. You can believe in the resurrection of Jesus because God wrote it in His Word. I thought seeing was believing, but I have learned that if you choose to believe, then you'll see. Believe, and be blessed.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about the church or make an online donation, please visit us at fbctarrytown.org.